Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Chiefs Bears is the first game on Saturday. Oh, Chiefs. Again, I think that this offense is kind of firm right now. The one question I did want to ask you is, let's say you don't draft Jamaal Charles. Are you still looking at Spencer Ware as a late round running back that you want to target? Or are you just completely against drafting a second running back unless you want to, you know, handcuff that early round pick that you made on the same team?
No, I'll definitely put Spencer Ware on my bench because he has a chance at usage, because he has a chance to be their primary goal line back. And he's really good. I mean,
I agree.
He could carve out a role where he gets 7-9 carries a game, especially in clock killing situations. And the Chiefs, they had one of the worst schedules entering last season in the NFL. This year, their schedule is a lot better. So if they are in clock-killing situations, it could very well be Spencer Ware in there over Jamaal Charles. The big takeaway from this past game, Josh, was that Chris Conley moved into two receiver sets and had some plays where he just ran right by Trumaine Johnson, who is the Rams' top corner. And Chris Conley made some plays, man. And I don't know what – let's talk about what you thought of him coming out.
Yeah, I didn't love Chris Conley. I mean
– okay.
At Georgia, it was a run-based attack, which he's in the same thing now. And I think he came out of nowhere with his athletic testing, you know? And, I mean, he's an absolute freak in that area. But in terms of what I'm trying to say is I don't really know anything about him as a player, you know, other than he made some splash plays and some flash plays. So with this opportunity that he has – he's not a redraft candidate for me at all, and obviously probably not for you either. But if he shows something during the season on a consistent basis, then I think he obviously has the physical talents to match up if he does produce well, you know? So I think that that is the type, kind of the prototype that you look for in someone that you want to invest in at the time if that happens.
I do like him in MFL 10s because his skill set kind of suits that, and you can get him like 16th, 17th round. In week one, man, the Chiefs play the Chargers, and Jason Verrett is going to be on Jeremy Maclin.
Yep.
So, I think that could set up a decent opportunity for Chris Conley. I mean, it could also be all Kelsey or all Jamaal Charles and Spencer Ware, but at 4,600 on FanDuel, I think Chris Conley is a little bit interesting as a week one, like dart throw in a tournament.
And back to Spencer Ware, I actually have drafted him in every single league I've entered this offseason. So that answers your question as well. Every single one.
Wow.
With the Bears, Jeremy Langford, it's all his. Like, you can argue about the talent, right? But the opportunity is there. And we talk about all the time, opportunity is the number one thing when you're looking at possible points. And so since the running back, since the backfield is entirely his, he's one of the best investments to me right now.
Agree. And I think that his ADP will continue to stay in a pretty reasonable range.
Which is amazing.
You got ESPN way down on him.
This little
injury that, you know, people are going to get worried about, even though it doesn't look like anything to worry about. We're probably not going to see him in the third preseason game. And so that will limit the buzz. And I think he's going to be a good fantasy pick in the fifth round and a really good pick if you get him in the sixth.
Lions-Ravens next. What we've seen with the Lions, it's still tempo, right? They want to run really as many plays as maybe anyone in the league this year, it seems like. And we've joked about it a couple weeks ago that Marvin Jones might, you know, be the best receiver in the NFC. Like, we didn't say that, but it seemed like the beat writers were all saying that week. Marvin Jones has looked awesome. He's looked really good. And I see him consistently rising. I will point this out, though. I believe his price in FanDuel for week one is just $5,500. So that could absolutely be, again, with volume, with tempo, with number of plays that the Lions might run in that week one. To me, I'm really eyeing that price.
Against the Colts without Vontae Davis.
Yep.
That's hot.
That's not bad. That's not bad. We'll just leave it at that. How about that? With the Ravens, Bashaud Perriman has, I guess, passed his physical. Still, he's not even in the thought process right now. But
no.
The running back position is still extremely unclear. In fact, I think I read earlier that maybe all four running backs are going to have some type of a role. So.
Yeah, I read that too.
So with that said, do you think it'll be any more clear after this week? Or is this just, again, a team, not entirely because I like Kamar Aiken, but a backfield you're just going to avoid completely in drafts other than your boy Buck Allen? And we ask the same question every week, or at least I do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's the same thing. I think Buck Allen's the best receiving back on the team. I think he has the most stable role in the backfield. And he goes really late in drafts, and he's 220 pounds. So although he's not a great interior runner, he does have a chance to become more than just a passing game specialist. So Buck Allen, really the only RB that I'm considering. You know who I love, man, is Ben Watson.
Yeah.
Ben Watson is in such a superb position. He goes super late in drafts. I mean, I wouldn't be afraid to trot him out in my week one starter, getting him in the 15th round and just loading up on stud wide receivers and running backs for the rest of the draft. I mean, this team is going to throw the ball a lot. Yeah. Their defense is not nearly what it used to be. You look at Mark Trestman's history. Joe Flacco was on pace for career highs in pass attempts and completion rate last year. And I think Ben Watson, with all the question marks at receiver, Ben Watson is a great, great value pick late in drafts.
Completely agree. Let's go to the Eagles and Colts. Darren Sproles, I believe, again, this is Adam Levitan's charting, 12 of 21 snaps with the first team. And he's still going super late. Like, he is the defined passing down running back on that team, it seems like. And right now, sitting as, to me, one of the best values out there.
Still going behind Turd Ferguson in Indy.
Well, we'll get to see. Evan, maybe we'll get to see Darren Sproles versus Turd Ferguson. Not on the field at the same time, obviously, but that's if Josh Ferguson even sees the field. So,
yeah, assuming he makes the Colts 53.
Right. I did want to bring up one thing. I don't know if there's anything to say about Darren Sproles, but Nelson Agholor, Evan, I traded him this week in the Roto-World Dynasty League.
Saw that.
And I wish I had made the move about a month ago because Fantasy Douche wanted even more. He was going to offer even more for him, including a first rounder. But I traded a second rounder and I think a fourth and a fifth. I mean, I'm just trying to unload on Nelson Agholor. Are you cool with that? Like, do you completely agree?
I think so. I mean, I'm not ready to give up on him totally, but I don't have any expectations for him this year.
Right.
You know, maybe it happens down the road, but it's not looking good at all right now. They already want to run. They're running DGB with the ones this week.
Right.
Did you see that?
I did not see that. That'll be interesting to see in this game.
Yeah, I think it'll be DGB because J-Matt is hurt. So it'll be DGB and Agholor with the ones this week.
Interesting. The Colts backup running back job is still completely up for grabs. Nothing new to say there. However, there is positive buzz around Philip Dorsett. I think played well last week. And I think someone, maybe a beat writer, said he might see 100 targets this season. We know that they have two quality wide receivers and Dante Moncrief, who, quote unquote, experts or people who work in the business are taking way further ahead or way earlier than, you know, your regular home leagues. And then T.Y. Hilton. Is there enough to go around with Dorsett, even though they are going to run a ton of three wide receiver sets?
Yeah, that's a fair question. Well, we've seen in both of their preseason games, like, they're trying to find ways to get Philip Dorsett the ball in, like, easy catch situations. So, and we saw it again that last week. So if they are actively trying to manufacture him touches as part of, you know, a pretty big part of their offense, that certainly could get him up near 100 targets. He's one of my highest owned receivers in MFL 10s. He's starting to go a little bit earlier than he was but for a long time, he was an 11th round pick in MFL 10s. It was just gobbling him up there. And now you'll see him go like 7th, 8th, 9th, and I'm not getting as much of him. But I don't know. I'm skeptical that he will be a reliable weekly asset in a season-long league, barring an injury to one of the other Colts receivers. But I think that he will probably be worth keeping on your bench at worst over the course of the year, and I love him in best ball.
Giants, Jets, this is such like a terrible game. Like, you have Ryan Nassib and Andre Williams and Tavares King versus Bryce Petty and like Robbie Anderson, who played well last week, right? He was the other wide receiver at the Shrine game other than Tajay Sharp, by the way. And even some teams looked at Robbie Anderson as a corner because he has some corner history.
That's right.
But, like, I've got nothing to say about either one of these teams. Do you? Like, nothing.
I'm trying to even think.
Right. Like, even carries in the preseason to Andre Williams are a waste. Like, he got, I think, 6 carries last week. And, and one, I think he sprung for something like 15 yards, and the rest, it was like 4 carries for 1 yard. Like,
Will Ty's usage so far has been disappointing.
He looks like he doesn't know where he's number two tight end.
Yeah, I mean, I had high hopes for him. Loved, you know, what he did as a rookie, and he's not ahead of Donald right now. I wonder, they don't have a third receiver at all. Could they be a two tight end team? But neither Donald nor Will Ty can block.
Yeah.
So can you run two tight end sets with two? receiving tight ends.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Titans, Raiders. Let's talk about Tajay Sharp, Evan.
I think that sets up Sterling Shepard for a pretty good year, man.
I'm with you. And Sterling Shepard, even though maybe not this past week, but in preseason week one, looked like the absolute real deal. Absolute real deal. But he's going super early in drafts, too. So I don't have any exposure to him because he's going a bit earlier than I'm comfortable with because I'm still comfortable with more receivers around him. Okay, so now Titans Raiders. Tajay Sharp is kind of the talk of the town right now. 5th-round rookie, UMass, made some great plays against the Panthers this past week. Already has Marcus Mariota's trust, already has the coaching staff's trust. I think it is not a stretch to say that he leads the Titans in receiving as a rookie. But the question is, how much are the Titans receivers going to get in this offense? That's the bigger question here.
Right, right. Yeah, so the hype is definitely strong. I mean, they were pushing it to him last week. Rishard Matthews is still there. Delanie Walker is still there. Yeah. They want to run the ball. you know, Kendall Wright will be back eventually. So what really is the ceiling on Tajay Sharpe? I mean, this is something that I struggle with. You know, I don't have any of them because he's, you know, he started to go pretty aggressively. I mean, people are really, really excited about him. It's just, it's theoretically a run first offense with a lot of guys who can catch the rock. And I don't know. I mean, can Tajay Sharpe like clearly assert himself over Delonte Walker and Rishard Matthews? I don't, and Kendall Wright. I don't know about that.
Right. And I should have said that leading receiver among wide receivers, because I do think Delonte Walker.
Leading wide receiver.
Yeah. Right. I still think Delonte Walker is going to get his. The other storyline is DeMarco Murray. In this past game, he saw 20 of 21 first team reps. Again, Derrick Henry still looks good, but it seemed like they wanted to see DeMarco just with that first team offense and see how he looked kind of carrying the load there.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to involve Derrick Henry in the real games cuz he's an animal.
Yeah, he's real good.
And I think that DeMarco Murray has no catches so far in the preseason. And I think that they're going to involve Dexter McCluster too.
Yeah.
So DeMarco Murray's ADP has started to skyrocket, man. I mean, he's on Fantasy Football Calculator. He's going at the third, fourth turn in non-PPR leagues. And in PPR leagues, he's like locked into the fourth round.
Yeah.
And this is a situation where it could be a three-way committee if you include McCluster. The offensive line is number 25, according to Pro Football Focus. It just did the Fantasy Feast with Ross Tucker, and he had them as a bottom-tier offensive line. The Titans' Vegas win total is 5.5 games, tied with the 49ers for the second worst in the league. So how much stock can you really put into a running back who looks like he's in a committee and on a bad team?
Right.
That's
a good question.
He's an avoid for me. I mean, he's a clear cut avoid for me. And I still think that Derrick Henry is better than DeMarco Murray.
Going to the Raiders now, Latavius Murray has seen 24 of 25 first team reps. Again, kind of like Jeremy Langford here. You might question the talent with Latavius Murray. You might question them talking about throughout the offseason wanting to add another running back, which they did in DeAndre Washington. But as it stands now, Latavius Murray is the clear cut running back one in an offense that wants to run the football this year after improving their offensive line.
Yeah, and this is a total opposite situation from DeMarco Murray, because you have the Raiders, according to Pro Football Focus, number two offensive line in the NFL. Haven't looked that great so far in the preseason, but right. We know that the talent is there. Ross Tucker also has them as a top three offensive line. And then a really, really good defense. You know, really, really talented defense. I'm in on Latavius Murray for sure. And I still like DeAndre Washington, not getting a lot of first team run in the preseason. But I wouldn't be surprised if they mix him in a little bit this week, in the regular season dress rehearsal. And then he becomes an every week fantasy starter, I think, if Latavius goes down. And I think that he could have some standalone usage as well, because he's better in the receiving game than Latavius is.
Rams, Broncos. Evan, I know you wanted to talk about Malcolm Brown, who I loved coming out of college, even though he was an undrafted free agent. I was excited about watching him when he was down at the East-West Shrine Week that year. Landed with a team that, you know, then didn't give him an opportunity. But here he is now with an opportunity in the preseason, and he's absolutely making the most of it behind a running back who has a obvious history with a knee injury.
Yeah, Todd Gurley also had a severe high ankle sprain earlier in his career at Georgia. Last year, missed week 17 with a toe injury. And if Todd Gurley were to go down, which he's one of the biggest injury risks in the league. I mean, if you look at injury predictor, the top three indicators for injuries are number one is workload, and Todd Gurley's going to have a huge workload.
Right.
And the other big ones are injury history. Todd Gurley's got a bad injury history. Another one is level of experience in the NFL. Players who, you know, haven't gone through the NFL training regimen for several years. You know, they tend to be bigger injury risks. So Todd Gurley, one of the biggest injury risks in all of fantasy football. And I think that if he were to go down, Malcolm Brown would actually be the Rams' lead back, and Benny Cunningham's role would just kind of stay the same as the passing down specialist and the special teamer. So Malcolm Brown is a guy that I want to put on all my dynasty rosters where I'm stashing guys who can hit. And I'm glad to hear you say that you like them, because when you love look him. At Malcolm Brown on paper, I mean, he didn't do anything really that really jumps out to you from an athleticism or a statistical standpoint coming out of Texas.
And people know his name because he was a 5-star recruit out of high school.
Yep.
But then did very little because he was kind of in a, not a rotation, but hurt quite a bit, I think, in college, and just never had the lead ball carrier role there in Texas. Jared Goff had 2 more fumbles, by the way, Evan, just to update you on that. Lost one of them. Broncos, it's like a Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch can't battle now. I mean, it even seems like Mark Sanchez is taking 13 reps in some situations. I mean, Virgil Green is getting some hype now because it seems like he is the clear tight end one there, even though they've loved Jeff Howerman in the past. And then you got to see more Devontae Booker this past week. Is there anything in that trio that you want to talk about?
Devontae Booker locked in as the Broncos' number two back right now. Not pushing C.J. Anderson, though. I mean, Anderson dominated. He's a three-down back. But Devontae Booker's number two, and he should be owned, I think, in all fantasy leagues at this point. It looks like Hillman's going to get cut. I could see him going to a team like the Colts, who desperately need a number two back. I'm buying into Virgil Green, man.
Yeah.
You know, they're running plays to get him the ball. They need an interior passing game presence, for, you know, whether it be Trevor Siemian, who's a check down specialist, or Paxton Lynch, who's a rookie. You know, their receivers are, perimeter guys. And I don't think they're going to be running the bubble screens to Demaryius like they used to. That was a staple of the Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning and the shotgun. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to see that as much anymore in the full Kubiak offense. Yeah. What do you think of that? Where they're doing bootlegs. You know, you're not throwing bubble screens when you're running bootlegs.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And again, right. I keep saying it. And again, I'm not an expert with this type of stuff, but I would say that Gary Kubiak's offense has more defined reads than a lot of others in the NFL. And maybe that's why they want just a Trevor Siemian, who hopefully in their eyes can not turn the ball over and is an adequate quarterback at best, because last year really adequate would have been an improvement off what they got in the regular season. But then you have Paxton, who, you know, has mobility, can lengthen out plays. But even in college, he's kind of a catch and release guy in many ways. So, I mean, it seems like Trevor Siemian's going to be the quarterback. If I was to bet on someone, it would be him. But I just think that a lot of people take a step back in this offense based on previous years. And it's I'm not saying that they're going off reputation on that, but it's going to be a huge jump off 2 years ago, I think, what this offense will produce this year.
Yeah, and Demaryius is a polarizing guy in the fantasy community.
Right.
Where do you kind of stand on him?
I think I brought this up, but, you know, we always critique these wide receivers. Well, not we, because hopefully I don't do it anymore. That college wide receivers don't run a full route tree. Demaryius Thomas doesn't run a full route tree in the NFL. Like you talked about it, a big part of his game or those bubble screens with getting the ball in his hands, because he's so good after the catch. He's powerful. He's fast. And if that's not a part of his game, then you might see some vertical routes. You might see some outside breaking routes. But I wouldn't say he's someone who's going to consistently, you know, separate. And if that's the case, then I think Emmanuel Sanders has a better shot of being the highest producing receiver on the team.
And over the past 2 years, Emmanuel Sanders, on an efficiency basis, has outproduced Demaryius Thomas in the open field as well as the red zone. Emmanuel Sanders has been a more efficient red zone receiver than Demaryius, which should surprise you, because Demaryius is 6'3", 230, and Emmanuel Sanders is like 5'11", 190.
Right.
But Emmanuel Sanders has been a better red zone producer, turning red zone targets into touchdowns than Demaryius has.
Chargers-Vikings, we got 3 more. Chargers-Vikings is the next one. Tyrell Williams is absolutely seeing first-team reps.
Yeah, dude.
And so it seems like
more than Travis Benjamin last week.
Which is pretty crazy. because they paid Benjamin this offseason. I'm not going to say he's supplanting him unless you are, but when they're going to run three wide receiver sets, he's going to be on the field, Tyrell Williams is.
That's what it looks like. I mean, they need to figure out a way to replace Stevie Johnson, who was going to be a he was going to play a pretty big role as the slot receiver in San Diego. And, you know, I think that it might be Keenan Allen in the slot with Tyrell and Travis Benjamin on the perimeter.
Yeah.
Another thing that they could have done is use Antonio Gates and Hunter Henry together, which maybe sense. we'll get to see. Which maybe we'll be able to see some of that this week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it looks like Tyrell is has a legitimate role with Phillip Rivers.
I like where your head's at with that, you know, 12 personnel with two tight end sets. Mm-hmm. Because Hunter Henry was used all over the place in college at Arkansas. Vikings fans got their Mack Weldon underwear in a bit of a wad, Evan, when I said that Adam Thielen is clearly outproducing and outplaying Laquon Treadwell through two preseason games. I'm not destroying Treadwell's career here, and I actually really liked him coming out of Ole Miss, but like he hasn't impressed me at all. And I'm not saying I'm going to roster like Thielen either, but it doesn't seem like Treadwell, and based on camp reports too, like I don't know when he's going to crack this lineup.
I bought low on Laquon Treadwell in one of my dynasty leagues
about
a week ago.
What'd you give?
Well, it's a big one with IDP where Navarro Bowman and Laquon Treadwell were offered to me for 2018 first and second round picks.
Huh.
Navarro Bowman is going to be a complete IDP monster in this 49ers defense that is going to lead the NFL in snaps. And Bowman is just going to wreck.
Yeah.
But Treadwell was the guy I was a little bit more excited to buy low on. I mean, like, I believe it in the dude.
Oh, I do too. Long term, Evan, I do too. But I'm just talking about this year.
Right.
Like, this year,
he's on my DND. He's right. DND. Do not draft.
Right.
Wide receivers have started slow and come around. We saw that with Stephon Diggs on the same team
right.
last year. We've seen that with Keenan Allen and Odell Beckham.
Odell,
so,
yep.
The light can go on for these guys. It's just right now you can't draft them because you don't want zeros on your bench. You know, right. you want guys that are at least getting action.
Right. That's a good point. Cardinals, Texans. Evan, is Carson Palmer okay? Like, again, maybe it's the preseason, so you can't read into it completely. But, like, he hasn't looked very good.
Well, you know, he didn't look very good in the last four games of the Cardinals 2015
right.
season.
And I attributed that to, like, that finger injury and them downplaying it. But maybe it's not. Like, to me, he just has not looked good through 2 weeks of the preseason.
Does it seem like his velocity is down?
It's something. It's like he's panicking a bit, and they've had some offensive line changes that maybe he's just not comfortable with right now. But he looks a bit antsy back there, and it's just not
–
And I think his accuracy is kind of being a not a focus of that, but kind of a result of that. And I don't know. He just doesn't look like the high monster scoring producer from last year at all. And again, it's preseason, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. You probably want to talk more about the Texans. Will Fuller clearly wide receiver too.
I'm sitting in my car right now, and like this old lady is next to me, and she opens her door and just smashes it right into my car.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you need to get out?
No, we're good. We're good.
Maybe.
Will Fuller, man. I mean, yeah.
She must be a Laquon Treadwell fan, Evan. She just didn't like what I was saying. Will Fuller. Wide receiver two with the Houston Texans. I know that brings a smile to your face. That really doesn't happen very often.
I know. I can't believe he caught four passes last week. He caught four passes in one half. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I mean, he's an awesome NFL 10 pick, dude.
I thought Jalen Strong was going to be the AFC MVP ever.
Will Fuller is such an awesome MFL 10 pick. Even if he costs you like – even if his ADP starts to rise and he goes like 11th, 12th round, he's such a good pick in MFL 10s. He's going to have monster weeks. He's going to be tough to predict, but he's going to have some big weeks because he can just run by guys. And I mean, these weapons are so intriguing. Your boy, Steven Anderson,
first got team legit reps.
First team run.
Look at me, Evan. Not me. And, not me. Look at Steven. Yeah, and, let's put it on Steven.
And then Braxton Miller, dude, he's locked into the, and he's catching a lot of balls.
Yep.
Manufacturing some touches for him, he's the slot receiver.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's the slot receiver.
Just to put some numbers to it, I think Will Fuller, according to Levitan, 44 of 47 first team reps. I mean, there's nothing clearer here to say that, I mean, Will Fuller is the wide receiver too in that offense. And if you were on Jalen Strong at all, it seems like he's just the backup right now to DeAndre Hopkins in that same role in the offense.
Brock Osweiler just needs to be a distributor, not give the ball to the other team. Just get the rock to these playmakers. I mean, I guess that's easier said than done, but they have some serious athleticism and ball skills, and they've got a multi-purpose running back with monster big play ability.
Yep.
You know, this could be a really fun offense. I think they're going to play fast. I mean, in the last two seasons, O'Brien's offense have been first and eighth in the NFL in play volume. I mean, I think this could be a fun offense, and I think it's underrated.
Yeah, Vikings fans weren't the only ones to get their Macwell Nundies in a wad, because it was Texans fans too this week when I said that, you know, Houston has all these awesome skill position players, and then they gave money to Brock Osweiler. But, I mean, look, maybe he is just a distributor, but I don't know. And I'll say this, all this talk about Josh Ferguson, Evan, I would rather have Tyler Irvin on my team. I think that Tyler Irvin is going to outscore Josh Ferguson this year.
Yeah, did Tyler Irvin – I didn't watch him at all in the second preseason game. Did he do anything?
No, he didn't do anything, but I think he has a clear role no matter what this team is, and he's going to make the team, you know? I'm not sure Josh Ferguson is going to make the team.
So, right.
Bengals-Jaguars, final one. The talking point with the Bengals is Tyler Boyd. So in the first preseason game, he played exclusively in the slot just about. Now with Brent LaFell nursing an injury, Tyler Boyd played on the outside. I think when they drafted him, they wanted to be that Mohamed Sanu kind of slot-only guy. But now they might see, and if he's converting on the outside, they might want him to be that second wide receiver. So for a rookie that a lot of people believe in his talent, if the opportunity in this offense with really no other pass-catching threat out there other than A.J. Green to start the year, and Gio Bernard when he's out there, Tyler Boyd's an interesting play.
Yeah, in week one, they faced the Jets, and Revis is going to be on AJG, and Tyler Boyd is going to be in a nice little spot there.
Backfield is still about 50-50.
One other note, though, on this backfield, and I'm not a big Gio Bernard guy in fantasy because he's just not good in fantasy, and he doesn't score touchdowns. However, the way that they start the season, they start against – the Jets, the Steelers, and the Broncos, three of the best run defenses in the league. So for as good as Jeremy Hill has looked in the preseason, and I mean, I'm buying in. I mean, I think that he's got the ability to be a good back. Like their best means of moving the ball early in the season against those opponents is going to be with Gio Bernard catching passes. So, and you could kind of envision them, you know, maybe Gio parlaying a hot start into his best season where he actually does become a fantasy asset, you know, to where you can use him on a weekly basis. Because really, to this point in his career, although he has had some good, like, overall PPR finishes, on a weekly basis, you don't want to use Giovanni Bernard because right. he doesn't give you big games, and you want big games because that's how you win in fantasy.
Let's talk about one more split backfield, and that is the Jaguars. Again, it's like right down the middle, basically, in terms of snaps with first teams. Like, again, this is a backfield I'm avoiding in redraft, and maybe if one of them gets injured, then I'm going to look at them in DFS each week. But, like, for now, it's just like they're not even a factor for me in my draft consideration because I don't know what to do.
Yeah, you're right. It's right down the middle, which makes sense. That will increase both players' chances of staying healthy. I think Ivory has the two scoring position carries and Yeldon has none, although he did turn a little catch into a touchdown last week. The thing is that, you know, you can talk yourself into TJ Yeldon because you can be like, well, he's the better receiving back.
Yes, he is.
And you know, maybe he could catch a lot of passes and give you like a floor in PPR, except that last year he really wasn't very productive as a receiver. I mean, and now his workload is going to be cut in half. And the Jaguars were 25th among teams in running back targets. Hmm. And it looks like they're going to throw the ball less this year. They finished 12th in pass attempts last year. And it looks like they're going to throw the ball less overall as a team this year. You know, I like TJ Yeldon a lot as a player. I think he's a really underrated back. I thought he had a solid rookie season.
Right. If he was the only running back on this team, I would be on him.
But even last year, he wasn't very good in fantasy. And he and in his 12 games played, he played 12 weeks. He led all NFL running backs in snaps played. I mean, he was a legit workhorse.
Wow.
They used him as a workhorse back last year, but he still wasn't very good in fantasy. So even if Ivory gets hurt, I mean, you know, I don't know, man.
I think that's a great way to end it with, I don't know, man. Evan, we'll probably
things I don't know.
We'll probably talk again next week. Maybe not so much about preseason week 4, but you know, just about some things that happened this past weekend. So Evan, you're the man. Thanks so much.
Take it easy, Josh.
2 podcasts in 1 week. We have 1 more week of the preseason left, then on to the regular season. Evan and I will be back next week to kind of, you know, wrap up the preseason and look ahead to the regular season. Hopefully you'll tune into that one so you can get it automatically, subscribe, and go ahead and rate and review it. You know, I'm going to keep plugging that. Keep asking. Just, you know, takes 15 seconds. Just do it. Just do it. Helps us out a lot. Anyways, thank you all for listening, and I will talk to you all soon. See you then.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.